I always love that gospel passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. How many Christians do you know live their lives like that? How many? I guess it's a good thing I'm not preaching on that text this morning. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
An elderly man and his hard of hearing wife were traveling from Memphis to Nashville. And the trip was progressing along fine until they began having car trouble. And so pulling into the nearest gas station, the mechanic struck up a conversation with the old man. Where are you headed? Asked the mechanic. Nashville, replied the old man. What did he say? Asked the impatient and virtually deaf wife. He asked where we are going, and I told him, Nashville. Where are you coming from? Inquired the mechanic. Memphis, replied the old man. What did he say? Again squawked the old woman. He asked where we were from, and I told him, Memphis. Memphis, sighed the mechanic. I once knew an old lady from Memphis that was the meanest, rudest, ugliest old hag that there ever was. She's the reason I moved here. What did he say? Squealed the woman. He said he thinks he knows your sister. What kind of character do you want to be known for? What kind of character do you want to be known for? Walking according to the flesh or walking in step with the Spirit? And yet the Christian life is really a battlefield with the flesh and the Spirit opposing one another. There is inner conflict stirring within us all, the old nature versus the new one. For within each of us, the flesh is not fully dead. Have you noticed? Pride, envy, and selfishness continue to be foes we must be on guard against. And followers of the Lord Jesus know all too well the reality of this inner battle and this inner struggle. Yet Paul is not trying to depress the Galatians here in our passage, nor should we be down about this fact. But the apostle does remind God's people that we have been set free by Christ. Set free. And we are to live a life of freedom. My friends, this is the new exodus that we are part of. And this means that there is a choice on our part. Like anyone who has been released from prison, there is a choice that must be made with their newfound freedom. Do you go back to your life the way it was before that led you to prison? Or do you exercise your freedom by living a different life? You see, the works of the flesh are completely and utterly destructive. Completely and utterly destructive. And the world is filled with these works. Just turn on the news. You don't have to go very far to see them. But because we have been set free by Jesus, we are called to live and walk right side up in an upside down world. We are to walk in step with the Spirit. Now, my physician tells me that walking is good for your physical health. One of these days, I'm going to have to take him up on that to see if it's true. But long before my current doctor, Paul writes that Christians are to walk with the Spirit in the power of the Spirit and are to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Christians are to walk with the Spirit in the power of the Spirit and are to be led by the Spirit. Because that is the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. Walking in step with the Spirit is very, very good for us. This morning, let us see what this new life of freedom is all about and what it entails. And let us fathom how walking in step with the Spirit transforms our character and our lives to look more and more like our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be ending our Galatians series today, starting at chapter 5, verse 16, found on page 702. I would encourage everyone to open your Bibles. Why do I have to say that? Seriously, why do I have to say that? Now, a woman saw a father shopping with a fussy two-year-old in his grocery cart. "Be patient, Billy," he whispered. "You can handle this, Billy. It's okay, Billy." The woman couldn't resist and said to him, "I don't mean to interrupt your shopping here, but I just have to tell you how wonderfully loving and patient you are with little Billy." The man replied, "Actually, my son's name is Patrick. I'm Billy." Oh, what fruit the Spirit bears in our lives. He's able to grow in us and impart to us and even speak to us love, joy, peace, even patience, and the rest of the fruit basket at any moment in our lives. But have you ever wondered why fruit is the imagery for these characteristics of walking in step with the Spirit? For starters, fruit is healthy to eat. It's got loads of fibers and vitamins and other nutrients. I know this because my doctor told me to eat it. Maybe yours did too. Also, fruit is naturally sweet. That is to say, it tastes wonderful. And this time of the year, I love to eat cherries. They are refreshing and delicious, and they go lovely with a glass of wine. But fruit also contains life-giving seeds. Seeds that can be planted to produce trees and plants that yield even more fruit. You can't do that with meat, which greatly grieves me. I'd love to have a steak tree in my backyard. For those who know me, I love meat. But we can't even do this with bread. But with fruit, there are life-giving seeds within that can yield even more fruit. It's amazing. So fruit is healthy, tastes great, and it contains life-giving seeds. As we live this new life of freedom in Jesus and walk in step with the Spirit will yield fruit in each of our lives. And this imagery of fruit comes from both the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus. In Isaiah 32, verse 15, the prophet writes, "Until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven, then the wilderness will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops." Bountiful crops. And at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaches that good trees cannot produce bad fruit. "For if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed." Amen? Free to love God and neighbor. Free to serve God and neighbor. Free to walk in step with the Spirit. And it is the Spirit of the living God who will cultivate in your life and my life an abundant harvest of fruit. This is God's desire for each of us, that we are fertile fields that will bear much fruit. And apart from the Spirit, it's not going to happen. It's not. But this new life of freedom does not mean that there isn't an ongoing battle and struggle within. Paul writes about the works of the flesh to Christians, not to unbelievers, to Christians. In the Greek, the works of the flesh are plural, but the fruit of the Spirit is singular. We don't pick up on this in our English translations. Why is this distinction important? You might be thinking right now. Because sin fractures and divides our lives, man. It splits and it separates us individually and corporately. The works of the flesh destroy and they corrupt. But walking in step with the Spirit unifies our lives. We've been set free to love and serve the Lord and one another. And we can only do this by the Spirit's power. And so I believe the question Paul puts to the Galatians and to us today is simply this: what power rules your life and my life? What power rules your life and my life? The flesh, which divides, which corrupts, which destroys, or the Spirit? But when we're talking about the flesh, what are we really talking about? The works of the flesh represent our human nature, not just bodily sins, that long litany that Paul gives us. It is the natural life not lived in the power of the Spirit. It is the natural life lived apart from the grace of God. And we know from Scripture that those who live according to the flesh cannot and will not ever, ever be able to please God. And so Paul tells us in Romans 8:5 that those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Well, no kidding. This means that those in the flesh are hostile to the Lord. They refuse to submit to Him as Lord. They live their lives as if they are in the driver's seat, as if they were the Lord, as if they were king, as if they were in charge. And as far as the Galatians go, not only was there false teaching going on in the community, but there was bad living too. Paul uses the imagery of the church biting and devouring itself. Is that something that people led by the Spirit do? Surely not. Surely not. And that's his point. You've been set free by Christ. And this is how you use your freedom? By walking in the flesh? Which, as we've seen, destroys and corrupts and separates and divides. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, we get a fruit basket, friends. This fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit in us. And this fruit grows as each of us yields our lives more each day to the Spirit. Now, you've heard it said that you're meant to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You've heard it said that you're meant to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are also meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He too is living Lord. Amen? And as we walk in step with Him daily, He makes each of us more like Jesus. Because that is the point of the fruit, my brothers and sisters. When you look at the fruit basket here that Paul describes in verses 22 and 23, whom is he really describing? Whom is he really describing? It's Jesus. Hello? It's Jesus. If you want to see the fruit basket lived out in its fullness, you and I must look to Jesus. There is no other. He is the Spirit-endowed Messiah. And this fruit of the Spirit is the Christ-like character, the Christ-like character that the Spirit desires to grow and cultivate in us. So the fruit must grow for Christ to be fully formed in us, for us to grow into full maturity. And we could go through the whole list that Paul describes, but really everything, everything comes back to love. You see, love is the key. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Do you like to sing? Yes. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. I love that. And self-control is love holding the reins. Love holding the reins. You see, love is the key. Love, love, love. And we know what real love is because Jesus first loved us and laid down his life for us while we were still sinners. Jesus loved in the fullness of the Spirit's power. He walked in step with the Spirit, and so must we. So how do we walk in step with the Spirit? Wouldn't you like to know? I most certainly would. Here goes. We must yield to the Spirit. We must yield to the Spirit. Now, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? You guys look like deer in the headlights there. Did you know that?
Yes.
There's a false understanding that I've heard some Christians make over the years, and it's this, that some Christians have more of the Holy Spirit than others. That is utterly false. So I don't want to hear you ever say this. But what is a true statement, I believe, is that some Christians have yielded more of their life to the Spirit than others. You know, I love to drive. If you had grown up how I grew up and went to high school from Dallas to Fort Worth every day, you probably would love to drive as much as I do. And I did this even my first year at college when I would drive from Dallas to Fort Worth every day for TCU. But what I don't like is riding shotgun. And that's because I want to steer and accelerate and turn. I want to be the driver. I want life in my own hands. But life in the Spirit means that we must yield control of ourselves, of our lives, over to Him. We must be led and driven by Him. So I say again, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. It's just that with some Christians, the Holy Spirit has more of them because they have yielded to Him and continually yield to Him day by day by day. Let me put it another way. Yielding means crucifixion. Good news, right? It means death to self. You see, something has to die in us. Something has to die in us. That selfish, inward, bent love must die. We are not the ones driving the cars of our lives, no matter how much we think we are. And it seems to me that there's a common pattern and theme in the kingdom that something has to die for something to be born. Something has to die for something to be born. You know, Jesus' words about discipleship are hard words. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. Jesus, don't you know this is not the way to win friends and influence people? See, life in the flesh doesn't want to deny itself. It wants to indulge itself because the mentality says this, that it's all about me. You see, something has to die for something to be born. You know, the cross is the prominent symbol of the Christian faith, and we have beautiful crosses and beautiful churches all across the globe. We have the Jerusalem cross, we have the Celtic cross, we have the Gothic crosses and more. But the cross was not a beautiful thing. It was not a beautiful thing. We could modify this ancient tool of execution for a modern one, and it might sink in a little bit more. Deny yourself daily. Put yourself in the electric chair and flip the switch and follow me. Deny yourself daily. Put yourself in the electric chair and flip the switch and follow me. Something has to die in our lives for us to yield to the Spirit and walk in step with Him. But yielding to the Spirit also means that something is born in us. As we crucify the sinful desires of the flesh and walk in step with the Spirit grows the fruit in our lives. This means that when we yield, the Spirit makes us into those fertile fields that Isaiah talked about. And each of our lives will resemble Jesus more and more. Our character will resemble Jesus more and more. Our desires will resemble Jesus more and more. And in the end, my friends, I want Jesus to be fully formed in me. Shouldn't that be the cry of all of our hearts? Shouldn't that be the hope of this church? Shouldn't that be the longing for families and friends and neighbors and co-workers? Yielding means something has to die, but it also means that something is born and grows in us. The fruit of the Spirit. Which means that we are growing to be more and more like our Lord and Master Jesus, because the truth is that it's all about Him. And it always has been. A couple of years ago, Miriam and I purchased a new home, and I purchased and planted a blood orange tree. And I watered it, and I fertilized it, and I made sure that it had the proper care. But no fruit. None. And that's because fruit comes in due season. You shouldn't expect too much too soon. But one day I came out with my morning cup of Java, and I was overjoyed because I saw something so small on that tree. And I was overjoyed. And every morning I would come out with my cup of coffee, and I would just look at the fruit. And I would see it grow day by day by day. As much as I was overjoyed by the fruit on that tree, as much as I was, how much more do you think the Lord is overjoyed to see the fruit of the Spirit grow in your life and my life? Did you know that the Lord rejoices over you? Some of you may be struggling with that right now. How could the Lord ever do that? Stop it. Stop. He does love you and he does rejoice over you. We must walk in step with the Spirit, however, yielding more and more of our lives to him. We must be led and driven by the Spirit, yielding more and more of our lives to him. So something in us has to die for something to be born and grow. So I leave this with us. What power controls your life? Is it the works of the flesh? Or is it the power of the Spirit? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. We now live by the Spirit, for the Son has set us free. Amen?
Amen.
So let us follow the Spirit in every area and every part of our lives. Let us walk in step with the Spirit and let Christ Jesus be fully formed in us. Because God is looking for some fruit. Let us pray. O God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living streams of eternal life. Refresh us and sustain us once more as we go forward on our journey in this world. To proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, to make disciples of all nations, and to bear much fruit for the glory of your most holy name. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Master, Savior, Redeemer, and Friend that we pray, the name that is above every name. Amen.